Hey, y'all, this is Lou Temple. You know me as Axel on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Girl. Keep tuning in. You follow me?
Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm The Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to The Walking Dead Girl, episode 51. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the TV episodes right after they air, we sometimes have interviews with special guests.
If you want to give us feedback on the show, there's many ways you can do that. You can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. Telephone number we have is 1-844-TWD-GIRL, and that's 1-844-893-4475. Or you can post a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/The Walking Dead Girl Podcast. We routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Wow, we have a lot of ways to contact us, huh?
Yes. Does that bother you?
No, I just noticed how long it is.
We want feedback.
Yeah. Currently, we're reviewing Season 4, Episode 13, and it's called Alone. Before we get started, as usual, I want to remind you that we will be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure you've watched the current episode before listening.
And before we get into reviewing the show, we want to tell everyone where we were today. We had a special trip.
Yes, we went to Wizard World Comic Con.
Sacramento.
Sacramento, which is probably one of the last big conventions in our area.
Yeah, there's not that many around here, so when something came that was related to The Walking Dead, we actually went.
And it was not only featuring The Walking Dead, there was only like two people from The Walking Dead there. Well, three or four, because Chandler Riggs was there.
Chandler Riggs was there?
Yeah, and something Rooker was his name?
Michael Rooker. Michael Rooker. Chandler Riggs wasn't there.
Was he there? Because I saw the advertisement video. Michael Rooker was there though, right?
Not today. He was there yesterday.
Yeah, but he was at the convention at some point. And since I was busy on Saturday, we had to go on Sunday.
Today. Yeah, so we went to the convention all day, and then right after that, we came home, watched The Walking Dead, and then now we're doing the podcast, so we haven't stopped all day.
I know. Walking Dead has become our lives.
Oh my God.
Get me out of here.
So, what happened at Wizard World?
We got to meet Jon Bernthal.
Yay.
And for those of you who don't know, he played Shane Walsh on The Walking Dead, season 1 and 2. And maybe you've heard of him throughout season 3 and 4.
I think we called this Jon Bernthal Con.
Yeah, because that's all we were there really for.
We just saw Jon.
We saw him like three or four times.
Yeah, so why don't you talk about what happened?
Okay, well, first, we entered the convention center, and then we walked over to his booth, and he was there, and he was signing autographs.
Yeah.
And we got an autograph, and can you talk about the so-called not-so-pleasant experience on my side?
Okay, to be fair, you know, we have to be nice because we just have to be nice.
No, I'm not going to be mean. I'm not mad.
No, we were very nice because we were like,
this is so cool.
we had a photo op.
Yeah.
But before the photo op, we just went and just bought one of his photos and got it signed, mm-hmm. Which is a cool photo.
Yeah, it's a photo of him wiping the mirror back in season 2. Right after he shaved his hair and he became insane.
Yeah.
It's my favorite scene, so of course I had to pick it. And he wrote on there, to Jasmine, thank you, sweetheart. And then signed his name and then Shane.
I think he said, thank you, sweetheart, because you said you were his favorite character.
Yeah.
On The Walking Dead, and he gave you a high five.
Yeah, gave me a high five.
And after we paid, we said, as we said at Walker StalkerCon to all the guests.
Yeah, we asked them if they would do a little intro for our podcast. You know, and we were wondering, we didn't ask them directly. We asked their like people who take care of them, like their managers or whatever.
So he had a handler there.
And she straight up said no to us.
She said no.
And we tried to explain, it was for our podcast. And then she said no again. And then she got mad because she thought we were pushy. And I guess, and I was trying to calm her down because she reminded me of my mom when she says no is the final answer.
Well, she said, I already told you no, and you keep asking me, and this is so I'm keep saying no, and so I'm like okay,
it's okay,
sorry.
okay, I get it.
Don't get that all uptight.
Please don't get mad at me. I don't handle these situations well.
It happened. It was similar, like at Walker Stalker Con, where we would ask the handler, and then most of the time they would say, he's not supposed to do that, or he or she's not supposed to do that. But if you ask him, he might say yes.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
But she said it's not under her control or his control.
Yeah, which is weird.
So it's probably a convention thing.
Yeah, who knows? But it was it didn't bother me because I was like, well, you ask.
Yeah, I just didn't like her attitude. And I didn't want John Berthold to think that I was just like wanted to get like media out of him, you know?
You don't want to think we were...
Just wanted to use him.
That we were weird people.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
No, we honestly and truly love John Berthold. He's awesome. And he was really kind to us and to all the fans. Like, he would take photos and everything.
He's really chill.
Yeah. And what happened? Oh, yeah. We told him that we saw him in
Mob City. And I said I really liked it. And then he said, oh, that's cool. I didn't get to see it because I'm filming something in England. And then I haven't even got to see Wolf of Wall Street because he was in there too.
Mm.
I was like, oh, that sucks. Well, you should watch it. It's really good.
He hasn't even seen his own shows.
Yeah. That has got canceled.
Which got canceled. I'm sure he knows that.
Oh, yeah.
We should have told him. By the way, it got canceled.
No, he knows. He knows. I didn't want to bring it up either because, you know, if I was in that position and I was an actor and my show got canceled, I'd probably be a little sensitive. Or maybe not. Maybe I've already gone through a couple of shows that have been canceled. I don't know. But yeah.
And then after that...
Yeah, after that, we...
Oh, he had a...
A panel kind of thing.
Yeah, by himself.
A Q&A kind of session thing. And we recorded that, the audio for that. So we'll put the best parts.
The next episode.
Yep. Bits and pieces of it. And then we went, and then right after his panel, we ran to back to the photo op section where we got our photo op, and he posed really cool for us. And he was awesome. And guess who else was there?
Oh, but first of all, before we took our photo back or from our photo op, and we had him sign that.
Yeah.
So now we have two signed things. And the second time I was kind of bold and I said, hey, you know, are you going to come to Walker Stalker Con Atlanta?
Uh-huh.
So I asked him and he said, I'd love to, I don't know, but it depends on my schedule.
Yeah.
So
it's filming schedule.
Hopefully we'll see him at Walker Stalker Con Atlanta, but I guess it's up to his schedule and James and Eric and all those people.
If not, it's fine. So. I'm happy I met him. So
yeah. So we're cool.
Yeah. And the lady in the photo op, there was the same photo op kind of agency, or what do you call those?
Company
that did a Walker Stalker Con, and one of the ladies there who signs her stuff recognized me by my hair, and she's like, oh, hey, I remember you. I'm like, yay.
Jasmine, you have the most recognizable face and hair and everything. Like, when someone sees you, they can pick you out of a crowd, like, boom.
Which could be good and bad. It was bad for us. I saw the good side and the bad side. It was bad because... I wanted to get a second poster of this free poster because you wrinkled it.
I put it in my bag and it got wrinkled.
And you folded. Oh, but the John Berthold pictures didn't get wrinkled. Okay. So I wanted to go back and get another one, but I was like, that's kind of, I don't know. I don't want to make him. But then she remembered me and then she's like, oh, you already got a poster. I'm like, I know. She's like, what happened? And I'm like, oh, it got wrinkled. And my dad, he wrinkled it. He's like, why weren't you carrying it? I'm like, I'm sorry. Okay. Just give me another poster. She's like, I'm not supposed to do this, but here you go. I'm like, ugh.
I'm sure she was going to give it to you anyway because she was just playing with you probably.
She's giving me a hard time.
Yeah, so guys, if you want to listen to the panel that he did on it, and he was really funny. He had some really good answers.
Yeah.
People were asking him about baby Judith and...
That was the first question, actually.
Yeah, is the baby yours?
He's like, oh yeah, it's mine.
It's totally mine. And then they asked him a bunch of other funny questions, which we got it all on tape. So we're going to play some of that.
Oh, on tape, Dad? We got it all on tape?
In our digital recorder. Okay. And then we'll play it next episode, next week. We'll filter it out. We'll just pull out the good parts and
play it. We'll save it for the end. Or should we do a separate podcast?
No, we'll do it the next podcast.
I think we should do a separate podcast so we can have like more podcasts.
Oh, more traffic.
Yeah.
More downloads.
Edit that out.
Okay, so I know you're dying to say who else was there.
Okay, so if any of you have watched Thor...
I thought you said the war.
If any of you... oh my God, I can't talk. If any of you have watched Thor, Chris Hemsworth is there. And I was like, oh my God. But I didn't get to see him once. Not even when he was at his signing. Because it's like, he's so popular and they don't even let people around to take pictures. And I was like, oh.
His autograph was $150.
No, but he's a movie star, so.
Oh, excuse me.
Think about it, though. Okay.
John Bernthal was in movies.
Yeah, but he's more TV shows than movies.
You're saying he's not a star?
But he wasn't the star of his own movie. Okay.
About a Thor, about a medieval guy from another planet.
No. Okay, he's not medieval. He's Asgardian.
Look, let's put it this way. He's hot and sexy, and he's worth $150, right? Well, and we did see his photo ops. His
photo ops. With people, and he looked really good, which made me really mad, even worse. Even more mad, because he's like, oh, he's so tall.
I think his autograph was $150, and I think his photo op was also $150. I can't remember. It was really expensive.
I actually saw my friend from school. He went there to the convention. I saw him when I was walking by in line. He got a photo with him, and then he put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
It looked really good. Dang it.
But I had a good time. John Bernthal was there. We got all Bernthaled out. We had all burnt all out.
Oh, God.
Get it? Uh-huh.
Stop talking.
So let's get into this episode.
Yes, let's.
What'd you think?
First of all, I agree with you when I say that this episode was this season's been going kind of slow. I'm just holding out till the end, you know, hoping that the end will satisfy we've been waiting for.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen, right?
They're all going to meet up, and then
they're all going to meet up, and something bad's going to happen.
Someone's going to die next week, and I think I have a prediction. I think it's going to be Lizzie's sister. Sorry, guys. Aw, Mika. Aw.
I don't think any of the girls are going to die. I don't think anyone's going to die, actually.
I think someone's going to die. We thought this week Bob was going to die, because in the preview, they looked like he got bit, but he didn't.
He actually did, but the bandage protected him?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Well, you know, things happen. You know, he wasn't totally helpless. I mean, he kind of moved, so I guess it could have worked. But this episode, I really liked it because of the Beth and Daryl interactions. But then I immediately hated it when they got ripped apart. I was like, "What the heck? Really now? Really?" I fell for it again. I don't know why every time something good happens, I cling onto it too hard, and then it gets ripped away from me. I never learned my lesson. I'm so gullible.
I always do that to you.
Always. I'm such a sucker.
So the beginning was a flashback.
Yes. At first, I didn't know if that was Bob, because he looked different for me for some reason. Maybe it's because I haven't seen him in a while.
I knew it was a flashback from the first scene.
Ooh, good for you. Do you want a cookie?
Yes, please. because he was unshaven, his hair was all really nappy and stuff, and he had these old raggedy clothes, and that's not how we left him from the prison. So yeah.
And I couldn't recognize him because he usually is smiling. I mean, at least lately.
And he was by himself, so
yeah, and he was not smiling. He was like seriously sad and depressed. And so we got to kind of figure out how Bob met hooked up with the group. And he was just on his own on the road, doing what people do to survive, looked pretty sad. He kind of reminded me of how Michonne acted, you know, when she went through her depression phase, where she's just walking.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he was hiding from walkers, he just sat behind a tree and waited for them to pass. You know, he passed by.
He was pretty smart, though.
Yeah. I mean, again, he was kind of like doing the basic things to survive. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't anything.
I got to tell you, this, the Walking Dead world is really depressing. Like, if you think about it. Like, if a zombie apocalypse happened and you have no one with you, like, it could be super, super depressing to the point where you want to kill yourself. I can see people why they want to kill themselves.
And in my case, I will need to find an objective fast. Like, because I've talked about this last week, how I need something to do to keep me going, to have a goal in mind. And I don't think I can last long by myself without a goal in the apocalypse. But if I did have a goal, man, I would be like on it and so smart and so happy.
You'd be organized. You'd be making diagrams and plans.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, that's perfect. And anyway, he found this camp. Well, not a camp, but he found this like kind of cave-looking thing. And I was like, that looks like a nice place to hole up. And he put like branches to cover up one half side because the other half was already covered by a fence. I thought that was a smart area to stay in.
You notice he was drinking NyQuil or some...
Was it mouthwash?
No, I think it was kind of NyQuil, like the stuff you drink when you want to
sleep, right?
Well, it looks like medicine. Yeah, like when you're sick or something. Mm-hmm. I think there's alcohol in it too. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But, or even if it was mouthwash, it's like, that's really bad. Like he's really
desperate for a drink.
Yeah, yeah. So that shows you know, where he came from.
And how serious his addiction is.
And then he meets up with Daryl and Glenn.
Yeah, and then Daryl asks those three questions. How many walkers have you killed? How many people have you killed? And why? And he seemed to have passed the test. He's like, I don't know. I killed like
You notice he said he killed one woman?
Yeah, and he's like, I killed one person. He's like, why? Because she asked me to. And I have a prediction. I haven't finished reading the Governor series, but Bob is in the second book. And mm-hmm. I have a feeling that if I finished reading it, it would tell me who that person was.
I'm reading also the same book you are.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, you're right. Bob's in that book, but he's not anything like the one in the TV show.
Oh my God, no. I think this is why I don't like Bob, because that book makes me feel creepy about him.
Well, Bob's creepy in many ways in this episode, and when we get them, I'll tell you which ones I feel like makes him look creepy.
And apparently we're not the only ones that think Bob is creepy. On The Talking Dead, Laurie Conan and Sonequa Martin-Green also said that other people think Bob's creepy.
And they didn't know why.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe because you're with him too much and you kind of know him too.
Yeah, you know him more than we do.
But from the outside, he looks creepy. He acts creepy.
Yeah. Well, Bob, when Daryl asks him, do you have any questions? He's like, no. And he says, you don't want to know who we are? He's like, it doesn't matter who you are. I think he's basically saying, it doesn't matter who you are. I just don't want to be alone. Kind of thing. And that's the name of this episode, Alone, which we can guesstimate to believe that
it's about everybody being alone
and not wanting, yeah, the fear of being alone and being afraid.
Well, there's a bunch of people that were alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
They ended up alone, and then
and then when he got into the car and was driving away, I got excited for him, like, because if I was in the apocalypse and I found people, I'd be super happy, like, gonna meet new people, gonna see what this group is about, you know. I don't know, I just get excited.
Well, I think Bob, at that point, he didn't care.
Yeah.
He didn't care if they were good, bad. It was just people, and he doesn't have to be alone anymore.
But if I was in this position where he was in two groups, and they both died, and he was the last one alive, I would be scared to go into another group. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he'd be thinking, okay, well, here's try number three.
Yeah.
Just need to make it work.
Yeah.
So.
And then we go to, do you want to just go through each person all together, or jump back and forth like in the show?
Oh, yeah, let's go through straight through, because it's tedious to jump back and forth.
So we'll just go through Bob.
Bob, Maggie, and Sasha.
Yeah. So then we have them fighting in all back to back, and they're in the woods or forest is a foggy. And I thought it was a pretty cool scene, because they have to fight walkers that they can't see until they're up really close. And this is the part where you thought Bob got bitten. But apparently he didn't. The walker just got him in his arm where his bandage mm-hmm. was. And I was like, oh, you are so lucky. I was like already having a panic attack. I was like, oh my God, they're killing someone in the first season. I'm like, now we got to deal with his wound for the rest of the show.
Well, the thing is, when he first got bit, he was like, it's okay, it's okay. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's what everybody says.
Exactly.
I
was kind of hoping when they pan away from Sasha and then Bob is like looking around, like all guilty looking. And
shifty eyes.
I know, with the shifty eyes, and then he's peeling back his bandages, all bleeding and bitten and gross. I was like hoping for that.
And I'm thinking, yeah, here we go. Another like secretly bit person.
God, we can predict this stuff so well.
But then he made a joke.
Yeah, because Sasha hugged him, and he's like, ow, ow. And he says, oh, I just said ow. I didn't say stop.
See, creepy moment number one. Let me take note. Let me take note. Creepy moment number one.
Click, click. And his smug face.
He said, you know, like the kind of guy that hangs around with you, and he says, he's trying to come on to you, but he says like creepy things like that.
Yeah.
Like everything is fine. All of a sudden, he's, oh, I didn't tell you. Like, he touches you. It's like, oh, touch me again. Or like...
Yeah, something weird. Like, totally off the inappropriate.
I didn't tell you to stop. Like, okay.
Like, innuendos kind of thing. Like,
yeah, know. that's the creepiness. It's like he sneaks it into regular conversation.
You don't see it coming. It's like, hits you in the face.
Yeah.
And then they find out that their compass is broken, so they don't know where the hell they're going. And then Bob was always being positive, the positive creepy dude he is. He's like, oh, you know, the sun, was it rises in the east and sets in the west?
Yeah, basically, he can use that.
And so they have a positive attitude there. I think he just appears creepy because he's just with two women. You know what I'm saying? He's bound to hit on someone, and we're kind of expecting something.
Yeah, maybe. But we see that he's attracted to Sasha somehow. Well, he can't have Maggie because Maggie has Glenn, so he's taken.
Yeah, the whole reason why they're still walking around is because of Glenn, so.
Yeah, so what do you think about that? Why do you think Sasha is... So basically, they're all looking for Glenn, and they're... Actually, what happened? Oh, they see the...
They come up on a railroad, and there's a map of Terminus, and they're like, oh, hey. And then he's like, oh, I remember hearing about this broadcast on one of our runs with Daryl, and now I know what it says. It was this thing. And Maggie's like, well, if Glenn was alive and he saw this, he would go and he would think I was there, so I'm going to do this. And Sasha, at this point, voiced her concern, saying, you know, it's too good to be true. And she would know because she's had an experience in the past of camps being, you know.
Oh, like Woodbury?
Yeah, like Woodbury and the prison even, because she thought it was good and then like got kicked out by Crazy Rick, you know. So she has a reason to be scared. But not only does she not want to go there because she thinks it's too good to be true, but she also believes that Galena is not alive and that they're going on a wild goose chase and that she really, really, really wants to get to high ground and settle down and just protect herself and look for supplies and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think that's doesn't work.
It only works if you're in a big group.
Yeah, definitely.
Because then you have, you know, okay.
Oh, but there was, what's his name? Morgan?
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yeah, he's by himself. Look how that turned out.
He went crazy?
Yeah. So, and
plus
Sasha
taken. Plus, he's a guy. He's muscular. He set up all these traps and everything, you know, to trap the... Like, he has this whole complex...
System.
Scenario, this thing, system going on. And do you think Sasha's going to survive on her own in the loft?
I thought it was nice. I was like, I would like to move into there if I was in college, you know, like a studio apartment.
It was kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is nice. Got nice windows, you know,
except made the windows
brick.
Fall out.
Yeah, what the heck was that about, man?
What kind of window just falls out when you touch it?
I know. It's been 3 years, but dang, gosh, wow.
I mean, buildings don't fall apart that easily.
Well, maybe they do. I don't know. Well, in this case, it did, which is convenient because, yeah. Anyway, so they go back into the forest off by the railroad, I guess, and what's her name?
They're talking,
Maggie's looking for wood.
Sasha's saying, I think we should stop.
Looking for Glenn.
Glenn's dead.
And and then Bob asks Maggie, why do you want to stop? And why does Sasha want to stop? And no, Bob asks Sasha why she wants Maggie to stop. And she says, because I think Glenn is dead. But then Bob is like, well, I don't really think that's the reason why you want to stop. And I frankly don't think you know why you want to stop. You know, he's kind of, this episode kind of was about Sasha and her getting over her fear. And Bob was kind of that person who kind of pushed her along. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in the detective shows where they have to have two people, not just one, because you won't know the detective thought process.
Yeah, because if you don't
have a conversation, explain what's going on. It's like,
man, you're really dissecting this.
Yeah, man, this is my job, okay?
So Sasha is afraid, and I think she's afraid of that Tyrese is dead.
Yeah, she's
afraid of finding his body or something.
Yeah, she's in denial, I think. Well, no, I don't think she's in denial because she believes he's dead. I just think she's in a denial in the thought that he can't be found.
And also she wants to shut herself down. She wants to shut down and, you know, just isolate herself in some apartment and just pretend like...
Everything's honky-dory.
Yeah, and just forget about the rest of the world.
And I kind of can relate to her because a way I deal with hard situations is that I just... like turn off my emotions or turn off any like emotional part and then, or like don't think about it. You know what I'm saying? Cause I think a lot. And if I think too much, it drives me crazy. So when I have to, I just don't think about it. And I never really get those emotions out, which is a problem. Cause then it can build up, you know what I'm saying? And in that case, that was what's happening with her. She hasn't really fully processed the fact that Tyrese is dead and she just accepts it and doesn't even consider the possibility that he's alive, which is weird.
Which is weird. She has no hope.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the big theme is that Maggie has a lot of hope. And I think Bob has hope too,
mm-hmm.
which he didn't before.
Yeah.
Bob, because that's kind of why they brought it at the beginning to contrast it from how Bob thought to how he feels now.
Yeah,
like Bob had no hope, and now he has hope.
And it's because he's not alone anymore, and he kind of broke that streak, as they say, of how everyone he's met group died, and he was the only one left standing, because obviously he still had two people with him.
Yeah.
So I think that's why he says that's why he's happy, because Shasta's like, why are you always smiling? Why are you so happy about life for being alive? And he's like, no, it's not because I'm alive. It's because I'm not alone. And then we kind of figure and we kind of connect the dots as to why he's so happy. Yeah. And
he said he beat a streak.
Yeah. And then Sasha talks about how they only have 6 bullets left and they have no supplies and they don't want to wait for Maggie. Like, they don't want to go with Maggie anymore. And, like, all hope is lost. And I'm like, okay, you're in a hopeless situation, then make the best of it. Why do you have to be so negative if you don't know when you're going to die? Because she's like, you know, we're all going to die eventually. It's like, okay, then live it up, dude. Don't be so depressing. Do you want to really spend the last day of your life in depression? You know, I would want to, like, be happy, like, look at the trees, you know, see everything, all the life that's left, you know, see the beauty in things and kind of enjoy being alive instead of just moping and being sorry for yourself and just being depressed that you don't have enough bullets. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just thought, yeah, I was just like, suck it up. Just be happy. She needs some Bob Marley. That's what she needs.
She needs some Bob?
Yeah. Marley, Dad.
So there's a scene where Bob and Sasha, so Maggie takes off, right? And then they
Sasha thinks it's a good opportunity to leave. But yeah. Bob is like, no, we got to look for Maggie. God.
Yeah, Bob is very hopeful. And so they end up going after her. And there's a night scene where they're at night.
Yeah.
And they're trying to sleep, but they hear this walker in the distance. Mm-hmm. Could you sleep with that?
No. I read in an apocalypse book for the zombie apocalypse that you should carry earplugs.
Why?
Because so you can sleep soundly at night.
Or if the zombie comes and kills you, you won't hear anything and it'll be instantaneous.
I'm talking about given that if you have a partner with you or you know the place is secure.
Oh, like if it's secure, if you have someone watching.
Yeah.
So here's creepy moment number 2 for Bob. So Bob's...
Again, this is another development of what Sasha's going through. We kind of see why Sasha's so against going and finding Glenn, because she's afraid.
And Bob says, why do you think Tyrese is dead? And she's like, what? And he says, are you afraid to find out if he's dead?
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, I thought you were the toughest, not only the sweetest, too.
Creepy.
It's like, you're the toughest. Oh, and the sweetest. Oh, really? That's not the right moment to say that.
Yeah, not...
So that's creepy moment number 2 for Bob.
Yeah. And...
So they end up walking to the town.
Oh, Maggie finds another sign.
Oh, yeah.
With the Terminus map, and she decides to take it upon herself to leave Glenn a little message in our classic, you don't have a Sharpie, use blood. And so that kind of became her thing. We saw 2 signs where she used blood, and the last place she stopped at, she was going to use blood again, but she got overwhelmed. It's like, that's her thing.
Well, that's how you leave messages for people. You use Walker blood. Grim. You use Walker blood. That's kind of standard, I think. Standard for The Walking Dead?
Yeah, blood. Okay, that's real standard. Yeah, for The Walking Dead, but normal life, it's still weird.
Of course, Jasmine, not normal life. Please don't use blood. Don't leave me a message in blood, okay, Jasmine?
Okay.
Not on the fridge, at least, anyway. Dad, I need you to pick me up from school, write it all in blood.
Yeah. Oh, and take me to the hospital because
I'm bleeding out here.
Yeah.
And then you see the blood and I follow the trail of blood and you're out in the garage somewhere.
Passed out. What a scenario.
On to better things. So, yeah, that was kind of cool. And then, and of course, Bob and Sasha see that and keep following it. And then they end up in that town that Sasha says she wants to find.
And yeah, and it's a perfect place with it has like a big building, that lofty kind of place. And then Bob says, "Yeah, Bob says I don't want to go. I'm looking for Maggie because she's alone, and I know what that feels like." And then when you guys found me, I was like, "How many days has it been?" Because he's like felt he was basically like all a zombie, you know. And he had hope essentially. And Sasha's like, "No, you can stay here." And she made the decision herself to go on her own. So why should we interfere with that? But Bob's like, I don't care. She's alone and I want to be helpful.
So I think at this moment, I think I like Bob.
Yeah.
Besides his creepiness, he kind of makes sense. I like the way he thinks rather than how Sasha thinks. I think that's the way to go.
Because the difference between them is that he has hope. Mm-hmm. And just like you said, how in the last episode, Daryl and Beth are both contrasting characters, but one need each other. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing here. They're both contrasting characters, but they need each other. Kind of thing. Like Sasha needs hope in her life, and that's why Bob and Maggie were there in that time, in that moment, to help her get through her being afraid.
Just like Mom would say, Everything happens for a reason.
Exactly. Yeah, she eats my Chinese food. Oh, everything happens for a reason.
You left it in the fridge too long. So, yeah. And another creepy moment. Creepy moment number three is when Bob says, I want to try something. Then he leans over and kisses her.
And she does not look happy. I mean, she looks kind of, okay, thanks.
She didn't really come respond at all. She was like, okay, now what?
Mm-hmm. And the main reason why they split up, and I like he explained it, is because this is what makes Sasha realize, that makes her admit to herself that she's actually afraid. Because unlike Sasha, Bob has conquered his fear. Because the whole reason why, I lost what I was going to say.
Well, he conquered his fear because he realized he's with this new group.
Yeah, he was always afraid.
And he's alive, and the group is alive, and people are there.
Yeah, so. He's always afraid to fight for something. Now he's fighting for something. He's fighting for Maggie. Oh, yeah.
He was afraid all the time. He's just afraid for what?
Yeah.
I don't have to be afraid.
Exactly. You know, and he's lost the group because he was too afraid. And he doesn't want to do that again. He doesn't want to see that happen to Maggie, you know? And Sasha can't admit that she's afraid, and she can't conquer it. So, yeah, so he kisses her, and instead of like reacting like, oh, I didn't know you like me, huh? Or like slapping him in the face, she uses it to her advantage and says, you know, you could stay, hint, hint, make a family, hint, hint, be happy with me. But he's like, no, sorry.
And he trudges away. And then Sasha goes out to her
studio apartment, living on my own.
And nice apartment.
I feel like she's going to break out in a song.
But she actually broke down and almost and cried.
Yeah, because she realized what a stupid idea that was. Like, now she's going to... It's like solitary confinement kind of thing, you know?
She's looking around like, what the heck? Where do I start? And then she looks out at her view to see how cool her... And she just touches the thing. It's like, boom, it just falls out.
What I want to know is why there's an ice cream truck out there. Okay, that's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Anyway... When she realizes that Maggie's there, and I initially thought she got kidnapped, because why is Maggie lying on the ground next to some walkers?
Oh, I got it right away. She's hiding.
No, she's asleep.
Camouflaged. She's just like camouflaging herself.
I thought she fell asleep.
That's the technique. Remember, everybody uses it. You just stay perfectly still, and then the walker comes. And you're like, she's like lying between walkers. So.
Oh, essentially waiting. That's her waiting for.
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah. So finds Maggie. And then she wakes up a bunch of walkers, and then they fight walkers. It was a cool fight scene.
Yep.
I like their team.
I like it. And then they do the back-to-back thing again. And then Maggie's like slicing the walkers with a road sign.
So many puns can be made there. And then that's when she comes to terms and realizes that she is afraid, because Maggie's like, I know you're afraid. And she's like, yeah, I am afraid. She
finally admits it.
Yeah. More to herself, really. And
about time.
Maggie kind of says to her, you know, I thought it was wrong to ask of you to help me, but then I realized I can't ask you because I know what it would mean to you, how it would benefit you, not just me. And I don't know if she meant Tyrese. Benefits because
I think Tyrese.
She thinks that he's with Glenn has Tyrese, or because they're going to Terminus and there might be a good opportunity there.
And then Maggie reveals that she was actually quietly listening when she was talking to Bob that there's no hope and stuff.
And she thought, you know, I didn't want to burden them anymore, so she left. But then she realized that she needed them to.
And she was waiting there for them because she
figured Sasha would be there.
Yeah. And so basically Maggie's saying that I knew you better than you knew yourself kind of thing.
Yeah. And so now they've become closer as a group.
She says, I'm afraid we can get there. Together.
Mm-hmm.
I want to step back a little bit. When Bob and Sasha first found the town, Sasha was saying all the cool things she could do.
Yeah.
In the house,
mm-hmm.
She says, "Oh, we can set up a thing to catch rain.
Catch the rain
in the roof." She set up like a thing on the roof to catch rain. Then she said, "We can make scaffolding and jump between the houses, mm-hmm. jump between the roofs, and we can grow something on the roof. They can grow plants and mm-hmm. food on the roof." It reminded me of. The book, the first book, The Rise of the Governor, when they went to that town in Atlanta, and there was a family living in the city, and that's what they were doing. They catched rain in the roof, and they were, they were growing stuff on the roof and stuff, and they were going between the houses from the balcony. So it kind of reminded me of the same.
What are you talking about? That never happened.
The Rise of the Governor book.
Oh, the book!
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the first season.
Oh, no. The Rise of Governor Book.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember.
There was a family in there that's what they did, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So, yeah, that kind of reminded me of that.
And then, so they're like, okay, let's go find Bob. Woohoo! And they find Bob. Bob in his stupid smug smirk. He's like, hey, yeah, I knew it.
And the end of that scene with Bob walking, with it showing his feet, because that's what they showed at the beginning. Well, actually, they showed Bob's face at the beginning. Him walking, yeah. And then they ended it with him walking. So now let's go to my favorite part of this episode,
yeah.
which I think is yours too,
yeah.
which is the Beth and Daryl
relationship. And obviously you can tell from the last episode that their relationship has clearly been stronger and that this is the happiest that both of them have been. And I'm kind of jealous of Beth. Like, I think I like Beth because I want to be in Beth's position, you know, Daryl, like being best friends. He's like, totally cool and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like teaching you how to use a crossbow and then like being super like nice to you and stuff, you know what I'm saying? I think all girls across America are jealous because it's rare to see Daryl so friendly, I guess.
Yeah, the Daryl character.
Yes. Beth and Daryl are really happy and he's teaching her how to use a crossbow and not really just teaching her, but also teaching her how to hunt and track.
How to track.
And there's a little banter there. And then
they found the walker.
And then she got, what was that? She trapped her foot in. Was that a bear trap? Because I thought it was a bear trap. I thought she was gonna get like her leg was gonna get like snapped. Well,
if it was a bear trap, her leg would be snapped pretty much.
Yeah,
it would be gone. But it was a small little trap for like rabbits or something.
Yeah, which kind of injured her leg. And I'm like, great, another reason why Beth is not useful. I hope their relationship's strong enough so Daryl won't get pissed off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. People are like on the internet are saying, oh, Beth is useless. No, but she has a purpose.
Like, this doesn't help her cause. But she kind of shot the walker and got them in the head, but not in the right area. Yeah. You know? But she's getting there.
She was injured, so there you go.
Yeah.
It was a good shot for being injured.
Mm-hmm. And then they arrive at a graveyard and he's like offering
mortuary.
Yeah. And then he's offering her a piggyback ride. I'm like, oh, that's so cute. And, she's like, seriously? He's like, yeah, this is a serious piggyback. I'm like,
well, the whole theme of their scene is basically this. I'm just going to break it down for you right now.
Break it down.
Is that Daryl thinks all people suck. They're all mean people. There's no nice people out there. And Beth is this happy-go-lucky. She thinks everybody's nice and everything. And we just basically see how she's kind of slowly
affecting Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl's mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they go to the house, she's
I want
to
break this down step by step. Don't like do the overall brief breeze through. We got
I'm starting from the beginning because
wait,
when they first get to the,
because he says, I don't think the good one survived. And I remember talking about this. I don't know if it was a Talking Dead episode or something, but saying that how all of the bad people have survived. You know what I'm saying? I think it's back when Carl and Rick episode, that the evil people own the planet now.
Yeah.
Because the good people would be died because
too naive and nice.
Yeah, and saved other people and got themselves killed.
Yeah.
So
they cared too much.
Uh-huh.
Like Beth.
Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, Beth is kind of making Daryl realize that maybe that's not true. And they pass by this gravestone and it said like for our beloved father.
Yeah.
And they kind of have a moment there and they hold hands and like, ooh, okay.
It was more. Basically a symbolism of Herschel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they go into the funeral home and they realize it's recently lived in. And I have a whole theory about this behind this.
Let's hear your theory about what's going on with that house.
Do you want me to say after or after I finish this story or before right now?
Just tell me now.
Okay, so they go into this funeral home and it's super clean and there's food there. And they realize, oh, hey, people are living here. And I'm thinking, oh, this is good, you know? And then
I'm thinking this is bad. In my opinion, this is bad.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of scared for them because I'm like, they could be there any minute. I'm thinking like they're cannibals because I've heard there was cannibals in the show. And I was like, oh my God, are these the cannibals? But then I saw the bodies and how they were kind of like dressing them up. I'm like, okay, this is weird. I can see why they would think they were good people because, you know, they bury their dead and like give them funerals and stuff. And then when the dog came, you know, that first time and then you ran away, I think that dog maybe belonged to the owners of the house. And then either the dog could have warned the kidnappers that there was someone in the house or the dog served the purpose of letting Daryl's guard go down the second time when the walkers come in, because he would have done the same thing he would have done when the first dog came in, you know, look through the window before opening the door, because this time he just opened the door thinking it was the dog.
Yeah, but the dog barked the second time too.
Yeah.
And we never saw the doggy. The
but I would have still looked. But watching it a walkers. Second time, I saw the faces of the walkers through like a little crack. Yeah. I don't know why he didn't see that.
Because Daryl was,
again, preoccupied.
Had his guard
thinking,
down.
Exactly. Maybe that's why the dog served that purpose. Or maybe it just tipped off the kidnappers. And then that's why those people kidnapped Beth. And I think those kidnappers were a part of the funeral home because
they had the cross on the back of the window.
Yeah.
In the car. The car that drove off had a cross in the rear window.
And if you can go back and check it again if you want, if you don't believe us.
No, the cross was clearly there.
Okay.
So it was probably the people that were in that house.
Mm-hmm. And I think this kind of made me mess with Daryl's mind a bit because now he's thinking, I believed her and thought, hey, we should stay here and wait for the people to get back because maybe they are good because, you know, I'm trying to go with her, you know, same mindset kind of thing. And maybe those same people took her away from me. Now I can't trust anyone. And
I know, it's just big, sucks.
Like a punch in the face.
It sucks. So there was a lot of good scenes here. Let's play one of them.
Okay. So this scene is from when they first spend the night at the, what is that house called even? What do you really call it? A funeral home?
I think it's a funeral home mortuary. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to leave a thank you note.
Wow.
For when they come back. If they come back. Even if they're not coming back, still want to say thanks.
Maybe you don't have to leave that. Maybe we stick around here for a while. They come back, we'll just make it work. I mean, they may maybe nuts, but maybe we'll be all right.
So you do think there are still good people around? What changed your mind?
You know.
What? Don't. What changed your mind? Oh.
Ugh. That mutt, one more chance.
Yeah, so. Then all hell broke loose.
That was my favorite scene because I realized, oh, they're so cute. I could actually see this happening. He thinks it was because of her. And he's like, oh, romantic love story. But then, ripped out of my chest. Ugh.
Well, I agree. That was a really nice moment there. Because it just showed that it's not about, you know, what's it called? Daryl deserves another kind of Michonne type woman. And they both go together and conquer the world kind of thing. It's more like, you know, Daryl needs someone like Beth, now that I realize it. Like, he needs someone to kind of show him the goodness in the world,
mm-hmm.
kind of to help him out. Because if not, he's just going to be, like, constantly going down, like, the survivalist mode.
Yeah, I really do have a strong opinion about this kind of relationship because I kind of recognized it last episode and how much of an effect she had on him. And especially in this episode, because every day Beth teaches Daryl something new. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is good people in the world. And here's why. Because, you know, these people buried their dead. At first, when he saw the body and it was in a suit, he's like, oh, somebody ran out of dolls to dress kind of attitude. And then she's
kind
like,
joking
around. Which kind of represents what he thinks of all these tragic things that happen. You know what I mean? Like some big tragic joke. And she's like, no, actually, this is kind of like really nice. This is, you know, this can be a reminder to us that, you know, there are still people out there who think of these walkers as they were people, you know?
Yeah.
And so he kind of like pauses a moment, like he's really thinking about it, you know, moves on. But, you know, he's, you see him like realizing and processing this.
And the other, another tender moment was when he came back into the room when Beth was playing the piano.
Yeah. And he was listening to her before he actually let her know that he was in the room.
Yeah. And then she stopped and he goes, lie down in the coffin, which was funny. And then he said to her, oh, you know, keep going.
Keep
singing and playing. It's fine.
And she's like, I thought you didn't like my singing. He's like, well, there's nothing else.
And he was like lying there enjoying it like a little boy. Like, you know, he had his finger in his mouth and was like, oh, this is so nice.
Yeah. He really likes it because I believe that Beth is kind of like the light in his life, you know, the good side of him, you know.
Well, he's never had that before. He's never had a person that was really, really like, because Beth is like super nice, like honestly, like it's not like she's putting on an act or anything.
That's who she is.
I'm talking about the character, not, well, I'm sure Emily Kinney is nice too, but
she seems really nice.
I know. Even in real life, she's pretty good. Pretty nice.
I'm pretty good at faking.
Yeah, she's pretty good. She's pretty good. I mean, because we saw her in person and she was really sweet. But anyway, because Daryl's always used to being like around Merle and all these rough kinds of characters, all these idiots.
Strong, like physically, but
also always insulting him and stuff like that.
Yeah. And then here comes Beth, this like dainty little butterfly with like good thoughts and strong mentally and wise, maybe even wiser than him. And he's like, I want to hang on to this because this is new, you know, this is nice.
And maybe he wants to protect it.
Yeah.
Wants to shield, like, you know, shield her from danger. Because when the dog started barking, he's like, oh, stay inside.
And he helped her, like, and I thought that her injury would be, like, put a tear in the relationship, but I should have known better. Actually made her closer to Daryl.
Because like, now she has to carry her everywhere.
Exactly. So I was like, oh, that's actually kind of worked out.
You know when he was carrying her into the kitchen for when they were eating? It felt like they were like, he was carrying her into
their new house because they're married.
They're newlyweds into the home.
Uh-huh.
That was weird. But I mean, it's fine. It's sweet and everything. But as you said, you know, every good thing in The Walking Dead comes to a tragic end.
Which made it even worse when he was ripped away from her because it's like, God, he just made a breakthrough with this whole losing people thing. And she did say, you know, you're going to end up by yourself one day. And she jinxed it because now he's by himself.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't take care of herself. And he realized that because that's the worst thing that could happen. You know, that's the worst thing you could say to him. And then it actually really did happen. It made me really mad.
Like you said, you know, just when he started to believe in what Beth was saying, because in that scene that we played, she's like, well, what made you believe that there's good people out there?
And he said, he didn't say anything. He basically implied it was her.
I think he meant her.
And she's like, oh, which is like a major breakthrough. Cause you know, Daryl's just like, kind of thing, you know, but he's actually, yeah. So that's a lot for people who are usually closed up.
So sad because then, I don't know. Why would someone kidnap her? It makes no sense to me.
They didn't even take the money, right?
We gotta find out more about this.
But I think my predictions maybe that they rescued her, but no, that's not really.
They wouldn't take off so fast.
Yeah,
like, they would be like, "Hey, dude, do you want to ride with us?"
Yeah, but we see. We don't know.
What's sad is that, you know, Daryl's like even though we claim that he's superhuman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he can only run so fast. He can't basically do anything.
Yeah, and then he comes to a crossroads, and then that's when all hell breaks. So I want to rewind a little bit to the part where they're talking at the dinner.
Uh-huh.
Let's
analyze this even more.
Yes. Because of Beth. So Beth wants to leave a thank you note to the people.
Oh, yeah.
Which is something I would do, too, because I would feel like, I need to let these people know that they're so nice. And then...
But
he goes a step further by saying, you know, how about we just stay there and stay here and thank him in person kind of thing. So he's learning from what he's, you know, discovered from Beth and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I heard a little bit of Rick in there, too, because he's like, oh, if they come, you know, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
You know, whatever happens, we'll make it work.
Which is a long way from like the governor. How, you know.
Yeah.
And then when he.
Oh, one more thing. And Beth said, I'll leave a note so that they can see it. But even if they don't, even if they never come back, I'm still going to leave a note.
Yeah.
Which is basically showing that.
Saying a lot.
She's doing it just because it's the right thing. It's like it makes her feel good to do that,
mm-hmm.
to write a thank you note.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there was another moment where Daryl saw all the food in the cupboard.
And he said, let's take what we need and leave the rest for them.
Yeah. And then she says, oh, see, I was right. There are good people, meaning that Daryl's a good person.
Yeah. And I feel like I really like the character development of Daryl because he started from this really under his Merle's boot to like rebelling a little bit to being
started from the bottom now I guess.
To being like the right hand man of Rick, to then taking Rick's position, to then, you know, being one with the family at the prison, but then losing it all and then coming back from that. And then not only did he come back from the hole he was in, but he was able to grow and to be a take another step further of actually being good and applying it. You know what I'm saying? Not only now internally he's good. Now externally he's trying to, you know, become better towards others. I mean, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know, I just like, it's coming full circle. But then that's why I was really, 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 really pissed off when Beth was gone, because I'm like, oh my gosh, is this all gonna come crumbling down? This is like still on scaffold, it's not solid, okay? The foundation hasn't dried. Ugh, it really pissed me off. This just happened. Okay, I'm done.
And then he runs off into the road, into nowhere, and realizes that he can't run forever, and Beth is gone. And so sad.
This is almost as sad as Lori's death.
And
before that, we had to talk about how he was trying to get rid of the walkers.
Oh, in the basement?
Yeah. I thought I was like, why is he running down there and trapping himself? What is he doing?
He was leading the walkers away from Beth.
Was that his plan, though, to go down in the basement?
Yeah. To leave the walkers away from Beth so Beth can run away.
But it was smart how he did that, like how he got them all into one corner and then like ran away.
I really didn't fear for him because I knew it wasn't time for Daryl to die. Mm-hmm. Honestly, they're not going to kill him right now. It's just at the beginning of his story. That'd be horrible if he died there.
Yeah, it'd be terrible.
And then
but
he runs.
I kind of had a bad feeling about Beth when we didn't see her ordeal with the whole zombie thing, because usually they have both sides.
Then we saw the purse, and it's like, uh oh.
It's like, oh my god, they're not here for the money. They're here for the girl. Oh my god.
Can we talk about how he ran on the road?
Yes,
now?
Yes. Thank now. You. I don't want to. Okay, so.
So one thing I noticed is that he ran so far that he couldn't run anymore, and then he just slumped down.
It was by the railroads, I'll have you know.
And he slumped down, and by the railroads.
Seems like he was there for a while because.
He was there for a while.
Some people came and.
He didn't even notice them.
Yeah, or maybe he did.
No.
Okay, he didn't.
God, or maybe he didn't care.
Exactly. So, geez.
He's lost all hope. He doesn't care anymore. Whatever. Come and kill me. It's don't like, whoever you are, come shoot me in the head. I don't care anymore.
I'm getting really invested in Daryl's character. This is not good. I can't have two powerhouses in my life right now, okay?
Who's the other powerhouse?
Andrew Lincoln. Gosh,
He's
Rick.
Fine. He's on his way to Terminus.
Still.
To go get killed over there, wherever that Terminus thing is.
God. Anyway, and we realize that these people that have showed up are from the episode with Rick and Carl that they... taking over the house.
Oh yeah,
stuff.
that was the guy in the was
Joe. The guy, his name is Joe.
From when Rick escaped the house.
Mm-hmm. And so they find him and they're like, oh, look what we got here. And before they can do anything, Daryl like springs up and punches the guy and has his crossbow ready. I'm like, okay, he's not totally ready to die yet. And you can tell when a character is gone. You can tell when there's a new character that's going to be evil if he just, like, gets up and laughs because you punch him in the face. Like, he's impressed. You know what I'm saying?
Impressive.
He's like, oh, a bowman. Yeah. Because, I liked when he said, with a guy with a rifle, he could be, a photographer before this, but with a bowman's a bowman through and through. I'm like, what the hell does that even mean? Like,
well, you can't just learn that technique on your own. I mean, you can shoot a gun, just point it in the general direction.
Yeah, but with, like, a bow, it's like you have to have... experience, especially with the one that's advanced
except the other,
as that
except
one.
Except the other guy that shot holes in the gas tank. What was his name? Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess not everyone can shoot a gun.
And then one thing that really put me off about this group that I said, okay, this is not a good group for Daryl to be in right now, is why hurt yourself when you can hurt others? And he's hurt right now. And I'm like, this is not a good idea, Joe. Get out of here. Do you know what he just been through? Really? God. So, and then he seems like he's joined a bunch of other bikers, and this is bad, and this is why I don't like talking about this, is because this is where I feel like the foundation that he set is cracking, and he's going to go back. He's go back to his old self, living under somebody else and doing bad things without even really caring.
So you think he's going to go back to his old ways?
I'm hoping not, but based on how pissed off this show's made me, it's going to piss me off even further before I get happy.
So you think they're going to show Daryl going down a rabbit hole of depression and kind of doing criminal acts and stuff?
That's like the worst case scenario. But I'm my hopeful side of myself, because this is all about hope. I'm thinking that he'll super hopeful side is saying that he'll somehow get them to help them find Beth, which is probably not happening, or that he's going to sneak off
and kill them all in the process.
He might have to. I think he's going to try to sneak off and be like all like buddy buddy, do a few bad things here and there just to let them know that he's part of the group. But then, you know,
Daryl's not stupid. He's smart. He's going to, if he, for his own survival, he's going to try to fit in as much as possible. But knowing Daryl, he's probably going to kill them first chance he gets and then take off.
Uh-huh. Like that guy who wanted his jacket is Bad News Bears.
Because he wants a jacket?
Yeah.
Well, there's a connection between those guys and Rick, because one of the guys saw Rick under the bed.
Yeah, and maybe they might say, oh yeah, I tell a story around the campfire.
Yeah, they say, oh yeah, we went to this house and there was a guy sitting under the bed and blah, blah, blah. And Daryl would be like,
And it's like, oh, and then maybe if they saw them run off, you know, says, oh yeah, and then I saw him run off with some black chick, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Kind of thing.
Yeah, so, but of course Daryl's not going to say anything. He's going to keep it secret.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to secretly kill them while they're sleeping. And then he's going to leave. Anyway, that's what I think is going to happen. I hope.
Yeah.
What a roller coaster.
And that pretty much does it for that episode.
That was a roller coaster.
So would you say this is a good episode? Better than last week's?
Yes.
Better than last week's?
No. See, it's...
Each episode, I believe, stands on its own.
Yeah, because...
It serves a purpose.
It's written differently. It has different purposes. So...
If it wasn't for last week's episode, we wouldn't have been where we are with Beth and Daryl, and that impact of emotion wouldn't be as impactful.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. And I like, you know, I think this season 4 has been the best ever of all seasons.
Really?
Of all seasons so far.
I thought you said it was going kind of slow.
It hasn't finished yet, so there's still like 3 more episodes, but in my opinion, season 4 is probably the best of all seasons.
I think so
too. Even better than season 1, actually.
Really?
I know it's a big, bold statement.
It is a bold statement. I would say it was one of my favorite seasons.
You know why? Because they've combined... There's several episodes where you were like on the edge of your seat kind of thing, and you were scared. And there was a lot of episodes where there's character development similar to season 2, which I liked.
Uh-huh.
So they've kind of combined...
Was it a balance?
They've balanced both, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, yeah.
Anyway, that's what I think.
I really like the season because we get to see, like you said, character development, but in a good way. Like, we didn't just see
meaningful stuff.
Yeah, not everyone, like, there was purpose. It's not like everyone was in one place and they had to deal with stuff. Like, they're like, just happened to be walking by and drama happens. It's like, they're put in a position that makes them be this way.
React.
Exactly. Like, environment reacts with them.
And things are moving forward.
And you can see things are coming together.
And they're moving forward. They're not, like, stuck in the... farmhouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I like how you don't know what's happening to the other group, because it makes you kind of like anxiety, like, oh my God, okay, they're okay, but what's happening next week with this group? We don't know for sure.
We saw a preview of next week's episode at the end of this week's.
And that's what makes me say I think Lizzie's sister, Mika, is going to die.
And we're back with Tyrese.
Mm-hmm. And Carol. And Carol's still not telling Tyrese that he's the one that killed Karen. Uh-oh.
And there was one scene that they showed in the preview, which I kind of thought was confusing, but maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
It was somebody's hand holding a gun.
It looked like he was bringing it toward himself.
A pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And the table had like puzzle pieces and stuff on it.
There's puzzle pieces on the table?
Yeah. So it looked like it was in someone's house.
Mm-hmm.
And they were holding a gun. So I was thinking maybe they're playing Russian roulette or something.
I was thinking the same thing you were thinking, Dad. Wow. We're like on the same wavelength.
Maybe it's that group that Daryl's with and they're kind of doing like playing crazy games like Russian roulette and stuff.
And then Daryl's trying to get them out of there. But we didn't see Daryl in the preview.
Well, we just saw a hand.
I thought it was Tyrese is going to commit suicide.
No.
No? Okay.
And then at the in the Talking Dead, we saw a crazy scene.
Yeah, I think it was one of the best previews yet, because it like told you nothing, but it said so much.
It was weird.
It's because it was like they were...
It was a pot, was it?
Yeah, it was in a view of the kitchen with some weird old-fashioned music, and there was water boiling on the stove, like those old-fashioned pot boiler thingies, and there was a girl running around outside, and we don't know what she's being chased by, but it turns out she's playing tag with a walker.
Looks like a walker.
It is a walker. It looked like she was like... I was like, oh my God, what the heck?
And what did I tell you it was?
Lizzie.
Yeah.
Because she thinks zombies are fun to play with.
Yeah, but the first thing I said, that must be Lizzie playing with a walker playing hide and seek with the walker mm-hmm. or playing tag.
Yeah.
Because Lizzie is crazy like
but
that.
But I'm like, how do they get to the house? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, who knows? Well, maybe because she's playing tag.
I feel
she
like
she gets caught and then something bad happens and I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just like, making stuff up. I feel up. Like though that preview was kind of like the opening scene for next episode because usually they have the previews they show on Talking Dead is the opening scenes.
Maybe.
Because it started off like one, you know what
maybe
I mean?
Maybe it's a dream scene.
Maybe.
A dream sequence or something because it looked kind of dreamy. Didn't look real.
Yeah, it looked creepy. It was too creepy to be real.
Yeah. So what do you think Terminus is?
I really don't know. And I don't want to guess because I'm probably going to guess wrong. And I'm going to get disappointed anyway. I'm hoping it is a sanctuary. I hope it is a good place. I feel like it might be materialistic. Military.
Militaristic.
Yeah, militaristic.
Militarized.
Yeah, militarized. I feel like it's going to be more of that because we haven't seen that exactly.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel people will... I think when the group all meets up there, some of them are going to be really anxious to stay and because they really want to be part of this. And some people will be like, no, I don't think this is the right place for us. I think we should go. Not because it's bad, but because it's not... They don't agree with it. Mm. I think that's going to pull them apart. That could be it. And they're...
I think it's going to be a bad place.
Mm.
I think it's a place where it just sucks people in and bad things happen there.
Or it could be like in the Walking Dead game, how it's like, spoilers, only the young and strong survive kind of thing.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like they kill the old people and children.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the Walking Dead game episode 2 came out.
Mm-hmm.
Season 2, episode 2. So I can't wait to play that. I bought the season pass, by the way, just so you know.
Wait, you bought the whole game already?
Well, yeah. So then when the new episodes come out, you just get them.
Yay!
I figure I'm going to buy them anyway.
Yeah.
So why buy them?
Why wait and like buy them individually?
Save some money there. So what did you guys think of this episode? Let us know on our feedback.
Yeah, leave us a voicemail too.
Yeah, we'd love to get some voicemail. And actually, if you don't want to use the telephone, there's actually, if you go on our website, thewalkingdeadworld.com, there's a little... thing on the right hand side, you click on it and you can actually record sound from your computer, by the way.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Dang, Dad, you're all like...
I'm high tech.
Yeah.
I'm very high tech. So we're tired because we...
It's been a long day.
What did you think of the Comic-Con? It was packed.
It was so crazy. And I don't know. I like conventions, I just don't like crowds. Because, like, again, I like personal one-to-one contact. That's why I liked Walker Stalker Con. Because it was... perfect. It had all my favorite, you know, it was about Walking Dead. And so it was perfect. So anything you saw there was kind of made you happy. But with Wizard Con or Wizard World, it was kind of different stuff. And it felt like I don't deserve to be here.
The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
And
Lex Luthor.
Incredible Hulk.
Like, I feel like I shouldn't be here. Like, I don't know.
But The Walking Dead is like your people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, another thing, I gotta give props to the Walker Stalker Con organizers because Walker Stalker Con, it was so big and wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could actually walk around.
And feel not suffocated.
Not suffocated. This convention, like you couldn't even walk.
Yeah.
That's how packed it was. And this
you
was
couldn't
on a,
stand.
And this was on a Sunday.
Uh-huh. The last day of the convention.
Like they have Norman Reedus in this area.
I thought they should have been smarter and put them by himself.
I mean, don't they realize that Norman Reedus attracts crowd?
Well, maybe because it's because, I don't know.
Maybe because they had Chris
Hemsworth. But he was there by him. He had his own, he didn't really have his own blocked off section.
Yeah,
either.
He had a huge section.
Yeah, but it was like.
Well, it wasn't his time. He wasn't there, but at the time we walked through. But he had a whole section.
Yeah.
But that's what Norman Reedus should have had, the big section like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were unprepared because.
Everyone was just crowding around in like a big mob with their phones out and stuff. And you couldn't walk by.
Yeah, but for the Norman Reedus and the other at the Walker Stalker Con, they had like this really long line. Like you couldn't even get to him. Like it was so far away.
Like you could see him if you wanted to from the side.
Yeah, actually you could.
But it was blocked off to a point where like they made sure that people were in line.
It wasn't obstructing people walking through. Yeah. Like people could still walk around and everything.
We should organize our own convention. You know what I'm saying?
No, because at Walker Stalker Con, you can go from one guest to another like quickly like that. Like
yeah.
You could actually walk like boom, boom, boom.
Uh-huh.
Really quickly. And this
and even,
one.
And it was.
Like this one, we couldn't even get to the photo op. That's how hard it was.
We had to go, but we found like a secret way around.
Yeah.
Kind of, not really, but
it was
yeah.
behind the.
Yeah. And I really appreciate how the Walker Stalker Con, it was like, even though everything was in different buildings, you could get stuff on time better than you would if you were in Wizard World.
Yeah. So
I like how we're if James and Eric, if you're listening to this, you should be happy.
Yeah, you guys did things right. And it sounds like the next one in Atlanta is going to be like, I would say 10 times better. I'm just going to say 5 times better because I don't know. I'm not sure. But I know that the convention hall is going to be much bigger because I saw photos online. And they're going to have everything together. You know how before we had to walk to another building? Mm-hmm. It's going to be all in one now.
I don't know. I kind of like the walking distance thing because then that meant that there was more time for you to get the edge and get to the front. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's going to be better. And we said that this year we're going to go a bit early.
Mm-hmm. So we can get the tours of the sets around Atlanta they used for The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
I really like Atlanta.
I think when we do the set tour or The Walking Dead tour, we should record
like our experience.
Yeah, as we're walking, we should say, okay, now we're going into the room where Norman Reedus did this and that. Or yeah. Whatever, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like, we'll like document what we're seeing.
Maybe we can say if you guys are going to Walker Stalker Con and you live in the area, you can meet up with us and we can go on this tour together. It'd be cool if somebody gets to meet some fans and stuff. If they even care that much to actually go. That's why it's like in the area. If you're like happen to be there,
you can travel all the way to Atlanta just to see us. So you wanna wrap this up?
Yeah. I'm just really excited for Walker Stalker Con now.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, did you tell? Oh, you told them how the people from Vampire Diaries is going to be there last week, right?
Oh yeah, are you a Vampire Diaries fan?
Yes, I am. I'm a big fan. Never read the books though. I mean, the show is kind of completely different from the books.
So in Walker Stalker Con, they're going to have
the characters. I will say it because you don't know them. They're going to have the two brothers, the two Salvatore brothers from the Vampire Diaries, Damon and Stefan Salvatore.
The actors.
Paul Wesley and Ian Somerhalder.
Ian Somerhalder and yeah. Paul Wesley.
Ian Somerhalder actually played in Lost. I don't know how long, but I just know he was in Lost.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of what I want to watch Lost.
Actually, they're gonna have VIP passes for them.
Oh my god!
Really?
Yes.
We already have VIP pass, but not for specific people.
But if we have VIP passes, does it include them too?
Maybe we can transfer our VIPs to have VIPs with them. I don't know.
But does a VIP count for them and the rest of the convention, or is it just?
Yeah. Well, the thing with the VIP pass, it gives you
Vampire Weekend.
It gives
is that
you
the band. Oh, they're just saying in general.
No, the VIP is called Vampire Weekend VIP.
But that's the name of a band.
I know. But because they're vampires, you get it?
It's on the weekend.
you get one autograph from each and a photo op with both of them.
Ooh! Oh my god, that'd be so cool.
I can convert one of our VIPs to one of theirs.
Yeah, but would I still be able to go to the VIP?
That's expensive. Sorry. we bought our VIP at a discount because we bought really early.
Wait, so does that mean that we can get...
It's like a double header VIP. You get both of them.
But yeah, I have to pick. No, no. Wait. So does that mean if it's VIP for Vampire Diaries, it's VIP for the rest of the?
Yes, Jasmine.
Okay, that's all I was asking. You never answered. Well, do you want to wrap it up?
Sorry, I was just reading the VIP stuff. Yeah, this is getting more exciting by the minute.
Oh, they have VIP for Lauren Cohen.
Yeah, they have VIP for Lauren Cohen. I think that's it. Everything else is just regular. Passes. They have 3-day general. Yeah, cool.
Cool. Well, we have come to the end of our show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a review. We really appreciate any feedback you might have. I mean, anything. You can say, I love butts, and we'd appreciate it.
No, don't say that.
I'm just kidding. Don't say that. I would laugh, but don't say that. You can send us email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. Any last words, Dad?
Yeah, I don't know. Do I have last words?
I don't look like you were going to say something.
No.
Anyway, this is Jasmine signing off.
And this is Michael.
Stay alive.